Welcome to the Finding True Health podcast. Are you ready to reject diet culture without rejecting your health? Do you want to feel a sense of peace around food and your body while also creating habits that will help you feel your best each day? Hey, I'm Jenna, a registered dietitian, a committed follower of Jesus Christ, and a middle-aged mom. Not long ago, I felt like I was at war with my body. I believed I needed to reach some arbitrary goal weight to be healthy and happy. But one day, God helped me realize that I was focused on the wrong thing. So I began to treat my body with the love and respect it deserves through both my thoughts and my actions. And that new focus has made all of the difference. Now I love helping other women find true health for themselves so they can enjoy more energy, better moods, and greater peace in their own lives. I'm excited to get started, so let's dive in. Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you had a fantastic Labor Day for those of you in the U.S. and Canada. I found out recently that actually a lot of countries celebrate Labor Day, but most of them celebrate it in the spring, not in the fall. So anyway, I hope that everybody had a fantastic Monday, whether you were celebrating Labor Day or maybe you weren't. My family ended up playing racquetball a couple times actually on Labor Day. We have gotten a pass to our local rec center and they have some really nice racquetball courts. And my kids aren't really into sports. They're more into the arts, into music and drama and things like that. And so it's hard to find activities they really enjoy that get them active. But we introduced them to racquetball a little while ago and they have been loving it. So it's been a fun family activity we've been doing here and there that has also gotten them a little more active. So it's been great. Real quick, I want to also remind you that the doors are open to my Food and Body Confidence program. They will be open until midnight on September 16th. So be sure to sign up before then if you're interested. This is my 9-week program. And as part of the program, you're going to get full access to my Health Through Habits online course. And you actually get lifetime access to that. Plus, you'll have weekly one-on-one calls with me for guidance and support and accountability and just whatever you need. The program only takes a couple of hours a week. It's not a huge time commitment. And I'm pretty flexible as far as the one-on-one calls go. I can work around meeting during your lunch break if you have to work, or I even have a couple of evening spots available. So if you are interested in that program, go to jennawaite.com/programs, and I would love to work with you. All right, let's go on to our episode today. I talk with lots of women who honestly can't fathom the idea or the thought of trusting their body when it comes to eating and food, and trusting that their body knows how to determine what and when and how much to eat. Maybe they've been tracking their food for years even, and they are just really relying on that those numbers in MyFitnessPal or in another app to tell them what and how much to eat. Or maybe they're used to following the latest diet trend and having some sort of a diet plan guide their eating. A lot of times they might have a history of overdoing it on fun foods. Maybe they've just felt out of control around those kinds of foods, so they don't trust themselves to be able to regulate around pleasure foods. A lot of women at some point or another have fallen into the restrict binge cycle. So they restrict all the fun foods. Maybe they completely cut out sugar and white flour and everything they feel like is bad for their body out of their diets. And after a while, it just becomes too hard. Or maybe they have a moment of what they consider weakness and they eat one of those foods and then they just can't seem to stop eating it because they have a sense of scarcity and are kind of trying to overcompensate for the restriction that they've been putting their body under. And so they just don't believe that they could ever eat those kinds of foods in moderation. I also see women who learn about intuitive eating and they get really excited. And so they try diving in to just relying on their body and listening to their body to try to decide what to eat. And then they get discouraged because they seem to keep overeating, or they don't really know how to read the signals and the cues that their body is giving them. And they're kind of putting the cart before the horse. They're trying to jump into the body trust portion without really learning how to even do it. So it's no wonder that some women ask the question, can I really just trust my body? And my answer actually might kind of surprise you. My answer is, I believe that yes, you can. but also no, you cannot. So let me explain. Let's start with the yes. I do believe eventually you can build that trust with your body and you can rely on it to guide your food choices in a very healthy and sustainable way. The human body honestly never ceases to amaze me. The more I learned about it in college, the more and more I realized just what a miracle it is and just how smart our bodies are and how much they want us to be healthy. How many systems have been put into place to help us be healthy? I mean, just think about all of the things our bodies regulate to keep us healthy without us needing to micromanage them. Our bodies reliably let us know when it's time to go to the bathroom, when we need to sleep, when we might need to drink, when we need to rest. Maybe you're getting over an illness or an injury and you can tell that your body is pushing you to rest a little bit more than usual. Or maybe you've just had a really busy, active day and at the end of the day, you just feel like you need to sit down and take a break. Your body is giving you signals that it needs some rest. Or on the other hand, maybe you've been sitting all day, maybe working at a computer or sitting for some other reason for a long period of time, and you might start getting kind of antsy or you might start getting sore in certain spots and your body might be kind of pushing you to get up and move around a little bit. Our bodies, honestly, just all day long are giving us signs and signals telling us what it needs in order to stay healthy. Our body was also designed to regulate food. We have a complex system of hormones that are so good at regulating our hunger and our satiety. We see this really well, really clearly in babies especially. Anyone who has had a baby or who has been around babies know that when they start getting hungry, they are very good at letting us know. And ideally, we'll be able to feed them quickly. Maybe we nurse them or we give them a bottle. And after a while, once their stomach starts filling up and they start feeling those fullness cues, then they will naturally just turn away from our chest or push the bottle away. And they might even tighten their lips if you try to give them any more and they are done. They don't want any more. They'll squeeze their lips together so that you can't get the food back in their mouth. And they are very good at knowing, no, I'm done. I'm full. I don't want any more. Little kids are usually pretty good at this as well. If we do a good job as parents at providing a variety of healthy foods throughout the day for them to eat, then they'll naturally come and eat when they're hungry, and then they have no issue leaving food on their plate if they want. Once they're full, then they'll just leave the food there and go back to playing until they get hungry again. They don't stress or obsess about getting just the right amount of calories or just the right amount of macros or are they eating too much? Are they not eating enough? They just allow their body to tell them when to eat and when to stop. We were each born with this instinctive ability to know when we need to fuel and when we've had enough. Our body mostly uses our hunger and our fullness cues to give us those signals. We've also been given the ability to eat the foods we love and foods that we might be eating for reasons other than hunger at times without being afraid of losing control around those foods. And these are called satisfaction cues that tell us when we've had enough of these pleasure foods, when we need to put them away until another time. But unfortunately, we do things all of the time that override these signals and cues that our body is giving us. Back to the example that our body tells us when we're tired and when we need sleep. Maybe you naturally get tired around 10 or 11. That's usually when I tend to start feeling the fatigue set in and start getting a little bit sleepy. That's your body's signal that it's time to sleep. But if we repeatedly override those signals, say we decide to stay up late because we want to watch another show or scroll on Facebook or whatever it be, and we ignore those signals, after a while of doing that consistently, our body might stop telling us around 10 or 10:30 that it's tired, and it might wait until later, until we're more likely to go to bed to give us those signals. Or it might just stop giving us those signals altogether, maybe until we're like completely exhausted and overly tired. I shared this in an episode a while ago, but one of my kids had an issue with wetting their pants well into their late childhood. I think they were over the age of 10 by the time we finally got this figured out. And this was daytime wetting. It wasn't just at nighttime. He was wetting his pants throughout the day, and we could not figure out why. And he would tell us, "Mom, I just can't tell when I have to go to the bathroom. Like, I don't have any signal telling me I have to go. My body just goes. And so we took him into a few doctors and discovered that, sure enough, he had ignored those signals so often when he was younger. He didn't want to stop playing. He didn't want to get off of his video games, whatever it be, when his body gave him the signal that he had to go to the bathroom, that eventually his body just stopped telling him. And so it would just go because it realized he's not going to listen anyways. So why are we even giving this signal? And that's when I realized that this trust thing is, it's a two-way thing. We have to be able to trust our body, but our body also needs to know that it can trust us to respond to the signals that it's giving us. So when we consistently ignore our hunger and our fullness and our satisfaction cues, then our body just might stop sending them altogether. So what might cause us to get to this point where our body does not feel that it can trust us to respond to its cues anymore? Well, obviously, dieting can be a huge culprit. Dieting encourages us to not eat when we're hungry. Maybe we feel like it isn't time to eat, or we've already reached our calorie limit that we've set, or we're not allowed to eat at certain times of the day on the diet that we're on. And sometimes dieting actually encourages us to keep eating even after we're full. Macro counting is really big right now, and getting lots of protein is really trendy right now. And if you're following a diet or diet plan like this, you might reach the end of the day and be satisfied and full, but you haven't gotten all your macros in. And so you basically force yourself to eat more in order to get the grams of protein or fat or whatever it is into your diet so you can hit your macro count. When dieting, we're taught to follow external rules instead of really turning inward. And this just leads to mistrusting our body. It often leads to disordered eating, which is why we talk so much about ditching diet culture on this podcast. But maybe it isn't diet culture. Maybe it's just societal messages in general that you've grown up with. Messages like when and what and how to eat, just based on cultural norms. Maybe it was how you raised. You might have grown up being told to clean your plate because there are starving children in Africa. And being forced to eat everything on your plate, even after you're full, taught you to ignore your fullness cues. Or maybe you were in a household that had strict eating times, and if you got hungry outside of those times, you were told, well, it's not time to eat yet, so no food, and you were taught to ignore your hunger cues. Maybe you lived in a household that didn't have very many, or maybe any, fun foods or pleasure foods, and so you never really learned how to honor your satisfaction cues, how to self-regulate around pleasure foods, and maybe you found yourself overeating those types of foods whenever you went to a friend's house or were exposed to them because you had that scarcity mindset around them. Another reason that we might get our body out of whack and mess with these cues is simply because we're busy. This was honestly my main issue, especially when I was a younger mom with lots of little kids. I just did not take the time to really stop and listen for my hunger cues throughout the day. Or when they did come, I would kind of brush them off because I didn't feel like I had time to stop and eat. And when I finally did take time to eat, oftentimes I wasn't really paying attention. I was eating mindlessly or trying to multitask. And so I wasn't really listening for my fullness cues, or I was ignoring them if they did come. And a lot of times I was eating really quickly so I could get on to the next task, which didn't give my body enough time to even send those fullness cues. So being busy, living in this busy, fast-paced world that we live in can definitely contribute to this problem. It also might just be a matter of habit. Maybe you're someone who just grazes all day long and you never really give your body a chance to feel hunger or true fullness. Or maybe you're just used to eating very large portions or used to getting really, really full before you stop eating. Habits like this can really mess with our hunger and fullness and satisfaction cues as well. And finally, there are certain foods, we call them highly palatable foods, that have literally been manufactured to provide your brain with unnatural boosts of dopamine, which makes us want to eat more and more of them, which is great for food producers because they sell more and more, but not so great for us because it can be hard to limit the amount of those highly palatable foods that we're getting. You have to remember that your body generally responds differently to whole foods or foods that have naturally occurring sugars than it does to foods that are highly processed and designed to make us crave them and want more and more. So just like my son stopped getting signals about when he needed to use the restroom, we can also stop getting signals about when to eat and when to stop. And that is why I also say that no, you might not be able to trust your body at times, at least not now. Sometimes the reason for that is the things that I just listed, that we have done certain things to throw those systems out of whack and show that our body that it can't really trust us with those signals. But I want to point out there are also certain disorders that can mess with those natural cues as well that are going to require a little more intensive care. There's a syndrome called Prader-Willi syndrome, and people with this syndrome feel like they are always hungry. All day, all night, their hunger signal never stops, and they never can feel full or satisfied. And this syndrome is pretty rare. It's approximately 1 in 20,000 people or so. And it usually comes with other issues like poor muscle tone, often a little bit of decreased cognitive function. So my guess is that you don't have this syndrome. But another much more common disorder is called binge eating disorder. You might have heard of this one. It's about 1 to 3% of Americans are affected by binge eating disorder. And this disorder is characterized by excessive overeating that feels out of control and becomes a regular occurrence. So if it's happened at least once a week for at least 3 months, then it'll often be diagnosed as binge eating disorder. And then there's another disorder called leptin resistance. Now, leptin is the hormone that tells your brain that you've had enough to eat and triggers those feelings of fullness. And so when our body is resistant to leptin, or if we're not making enough leptin, then it can feel like we never get full and we just want to keep eating. So these kinds of disorders can be treated, but they need to be treated by somebody who specializes in those things, and treatment is a little more intensive. For the rest of us, our issues are related more to the ones that I touched on earlier. So if those earlier issues sounded more like you, what can we do to rebuild that body trust and to learn to eat more intuitively? Well, I have several options, and honestly, I could do a whole podcast episode on each of these options, and I probably have done episodes on a couple of them, so you can go back and look for those. But these are all ways to help you get back in tune with your body and build that trust back again. Now, this first suggestion might seem a little counterintuitive to the intuitive eating philosophy, but stay with me. It might be a good idea. I actually recommend to clients when they're really struggling in this area to eat on a schedule for a while, to have a bit of a meal plan and schedule your meals so you can show your body that it can trust you to feed yourself regularly, that you're not going to ignore it when it tries to send you signals. Now remember, again, this is a means to an end. This is not a lifestyle plan. This is not something you're going to be doing forever, but it can be really helpful for a while. This is actually what we had to do for our son. We ended up setting a timer for every 2 hours and took him to the bathroom so that his body could learn to trust that he would actually go to the bathroom when it started signaling that he needed to go again. And it worked. After, it seems like, a few weeks, then he started to get those urges again. So this method can work because our body and our brain really love consistency and routine. If you eat around the same time and roughly the same amount each day, then your body is going to start anticipating that, and it'll send hunger and fullness signals that are much clearer and easier to recognize than if you kind of eat haphazardly here and there in varying amounts and varying times. Your body kind of doesn't know exactly what to expect. So there are lots of ways to try and get on a schedule or a routine of some sort. You can try meal prep. You can set alarms in your phone, like we did with my son. You can write reminders on sticky notes or in your calendar. Just find something that works for you and for your lifestyle. My next suggestion is to learn how your body, in particular, feels hunger and fullness. It's not the same for everybody. To some people, hunger feels like the rumbling in the stomach and the feeling of emptiness like we often associate with hunger. But for other people, it might feel like just getting tired or lightheaded. Or for me, I often find that I just start thinking about food more the closer it gets to mealtime. And then same with fullness. You might need to play around a little bit to see what comfortable fullness feels like for you. So in order to do this, a lot of times we recommend using what's called a hunger and fullness scale. This is just basically a scale numbered either 0 or 1, I've seen both, to the number 10. And so 0 means that you are starving, you're ravenous, and 10 means that you are stuffed, you're extremely full. And then 5, right in the middle, would be more neutral. You're not really hungry, you're not really full, you're in the middle. And so we recommend that people try to eat when they're around a 3. So they're hungry, but they're not ravenous. And then stop eating around a 7 or so, where they're comfortably full, but not so stuffed that they can hardly move. So it can be helpful to just check in with your body periodically throughout the day to gauge where your hunger is. And then also while you're eating to gauge where your fullness level is at. I've heard this compared to like a fuel gauge in your car, especially for people who tend to just eat every time food is around. That would kind of be like filling up on gas every time you see a gas station. If you check your fuel gauge first, you'll notice that, oh, actually, I'm already pretty full on gas, or oh, I'm just in the middle. I don't really need to go fill up yet. But then on the other hand, you don't want to wait until you're all the way at a 0 and clear past empty in the fuel gauge to go and fill up. I literally ran out of gas once on my way to a gas station. I was like a quarter of a mile away and I had to pull over on the side of the road because I had no more gas to just get me up that last little bit of hill to the gas station. So don't do that. Don't wait so long that you run out of gas on the way to the station. There's also something called a satisfaction meter. Along with a hunger and fullness scale, I give this satisfaction meter to my clients and have them rate their satisfaction level when they're eating meals and particularly when they're eating fun foods. And this meter varies from, on the one side, it's this doesn't satisfy me at all, this is gross, all the way to the other end where this tastes incredible, this is amazing, I'm fully enjoying this eating experience. And you can kind of gauge that satisfaction as you eat because your body will send you signals that it's had enough. Even if it's a meal that you start out thinking, wow, this is amazing, I'm loving this meal, as you eat more and more of it, your satisfaction meter will naturally go down. And that's just your body telling you, okay, I feel like we've had enough, we've been satisfied, we can stop. Another way to rebuild this trust with your body is to work or keep working on letting go of diet culture, reminding yourself that there is no wrong or right way to eat, there are no good or bad foods, there's no ideal body size or shape. These are all messages that come from diet culture, and we often need to work to rewire our brains to get those messages out. And this is often a process. It doesn't happen overnight, but over time, we can start changing the narrative in our heads. Another important tool you can work on is to learn how to eat more mindfully. It's really hard to hear the signals and the cues that your body is sending if you're never paying attention to it. So using that hunger and fullness scale can help you be more mindful. But it's also important to be mindful of just your body in general. Your body is going to give you feedback in a variety of ways. So you can pay attention to your energy levels, your moods, your bathroom habits, what's going on when you visit the restroom, if you're retaining fluid, if you have heartburn or bloating or things like that. Just pay attention to how food and how movement affects your body in a variety of ways. Being more mindful in that way can really give you a lot of valuable information about what your body is trying to tell you, which can help build that trust more and more. Another way to build that trust is to try limiting those highly palatable foods that I talked about. Learn how to enjoy those fun foods, those pleasure foods, without going overboard. And then finally, it's really useful to learn the difference between when you're feeling physical hunger and when you're feeling emotional hunger. So emotional hunger is basically eating for any reason other than physical hunger. And both of these types of hunger are important and need to be responded to, sometimes with food, sometimes in other ways. But learning how to tell the difference between the two and then having healthy ways of responding is going to go a long way in helping build that trust with your body. So once you have worked to start building these skills, then you can begin trusting your body more and more, and your body is going to begin trusting you more and more. It's really an ongoing effort, but it does get easier over time as these skills become habits and routines in your life. So just as we wrap up here, I want to emphasize again that these skills do take time. They take effort to develop. It's the same as if you were trying to build trust with another person. That takes time. It takes a number of positive experiences before you know that you can really trust someone. My parents divorced when I was in my 30s, and I had quite a few young kids at the time. And I remember my dad started dating someone, the first woman he dated after the divorce. And it was like on the first or maybe second time that we ever talked to this lady and met her, she said something like, "Oh, you should go on an overnight trip and I'll watch your kids for you." And I remember thinking, "I don't know you and I don't trust you yet. We haven't had time to build that trust and that relationship. So thanks for the offer, but I'm not going to leave my kids with you until I know that I can trust you." So just like with that lady, your relationship with your body and building that trust is going to take some time. Another important point is I do believe in using a combination of what is called inner and outer wisdom. So this is using your knowledge of food and nutrition, of portion sizes, of micro and macronutrients, all that information, along with your body cues and that internal wisdom when making decisions regarding food and health. I don't think that this should be completely based on just your inner wisdom. And to be honest, you might need to rely a little more on that outer wisdom, especially while you're building that body trust back up and working to develop more of that inner wisdom. So don't feel bad if you need to rely a little more on that outer wisdom for a while. And as always, please remember, we are not shooting for perfection in any of these areas that I mentioned. Honoring your hunger and fullness, eating mindfully, limiting highly palatable foods, dealing with emotional eating. There's no such thing as being a perfect intuitive eater. As long as we're trying to do these things the majority of the time, there's always room for those moments and days and weeks and months sometimes that we struggle in any of these areas. Our body is very adaptable. It can handle imperfection, I promise. And finally, please, please reach out for support if you need help in this area. Of course, I'm always here. I would love to be that support, but there are plenty of other people out there as well, dietitians and therapists and support groups and such that can also help. So if this is an area that you struggle in, please don't feel like you have to do this on your own. All right, my friends, thank you so much for joining me today. I really hope that that was helpful, and I wish you all the best on your journey of building trust with your body and healing your relationship with food if needed. I hope you have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.